When Charles Darwin published his groundbreaking work on evolution, many seized upon survival of the fittest as proof that nature rewards ruthless competition. This distortion justified everything from unfettered capitalism to colonial expansion. Yet in the shadow of the Great War, Russian naturalist Pyotr Kropotkin offered a radical alternative view. During his expeditions across Siberia's harsh wilderness, he witnessed something profound. When facing nature's cruelest challenges, animals don't fight each other, they band together. Herds of deer unite against predators, birds form protective associations, and small mammals huddle for warmth. The conventional understanding of Darwin's struggle for existence had been tragically narrowed, ignoring Darwin's own warnings against such a limited view. What if cooperation, not competition, is the true driving force of evolution and human progress? What if the fittest aren't the strongest or most cunning, but those who combine for mutual support? This insight would form the foundation of a revolutionary perspective on evolution, human society, and the path toward a more just world. Far from being exceptions to nature's rule of cooperation, early humans, physically vulnerable and defenseless at their beginnings, found both protection and evolutionary progress through mutual aid. The earliest human societies weren't collections of isolated nuclear families, but intricate clan structures built on complex webs of mutual obligations. These social structures left lasting imprints visible in numerous customs across diverse cultures. The classificatory system, where individuals address others as if they were direct family members. Strict exogamy customs, preventing marriage within certain social groups. Blood covenants establishing artificial kinship, and communal child-rearing practices. The foundational virtue in these early societies was the complete identification of personal existence with tribal welfare, a stark contrast to modern individualism. Within the tribe, resources were shared completely and unconditionally, exemplified by customs like the hunter's call, where even a lone hunter would call out 3 times before eating, inviting any who might hear to share their meal. This each-for-all principle applied powerfully within the tribe, creating bonds that enabled survival in environments where individuals alone would surely perish. Imagine facing a harsh winter or predator-filled landscape without the protection of your community. The choice between cooperation and competition wasn't philosophical, but existential. As societies evolved beyond clan structures, they formed village communities and medieval cities, mutual aid's greatest historical achievement. These cities emerged as a double federation of territorial units and professional guilds, prioritizing liberty, self-administration, and peace. Medieval cities actively prevented starvation. Civic officials purchased and distributed food in the name of the town. Venice controlled corn trade for fair distribution, Amiens provided affordable salt, and many French towns maintained municipal depots for essentials. The guild system elevated manual labor to a position of dignity. Workers weren't mere hirelings, but respected craftsmen performing social duties. Work conditions were progressive. 8-hour workdays in mining, as it used to be of old, Saturday half holidays, and Wednesday afternoon bathing time. Europe's transformation through city life was remarkable. In just 350 years, clusters of miserable huts evolved into magnificent cities with artistic gates and immense walls. Cathedrals rose skyward, crafts reached near perfection, prosperity replaced misery, and learning flourished. All this emerged not from competition, but from cooperation. Communities working together toward common goals. Medieval cities declined as powerful centralized states emerged. Feudal lords built royal cities like Paris and Moscow, attracting warriors with glory and merchants with patronage. Roman-trained lawyers provided intellectual justification for centralization, while the church legitimized monarchs as divine representatives. Cities hastened their own decline by establishing rigid social hierarchies, creating divisions between established families and newcomers, and neglecting agriculture for commerce. The Reformation attempted to revive mutual aid principles, but emerging states brutally suppressed this movement. Despite systematic suppression by state and capital, the mutual aid tendency persists through history's darkest periods. Workers formed unions despite prohibitions. The Lifeboat Association exemplifies this spirit, volunteers risking their lives to rescue strangers from dangerous waters driven by moral impulse rather than self-interest. In working-class neighborhoods, mutual aid thrives through support networks. Mothers caring for sick neighbors, families sharing resources, and workers showing remarkable solidarity during crises. Mutual aid represents a fundamental evolutionary force shaping survival and development in both human society and the animal world. Species that minimize individual struggle and maximize cooperation consistently prove the most numerous and prosperous, from ant colonies to wolf packs to primate groups. Industrial progress, commonly attributed to competition, actually stems more from cooperation and collective knowledge sharing. Even the steam engine required generations of artisans with specialized skills fostered in collaborative medieval workshops, sharing techniques across regions and generations. Today's technologies, the internet, smartphones, medical treatments, emerge from complex collaborative webs spanning institutions, countries, and generations. In ethics, mutual aid forms the foundation of our moral conceptions, traceable to early animal evolution where cooperative behaviors first emerged. New religions consistently reaffirmed this principle when it decayed, extending it from clan to tribe to nation and ultimately to all humanity. These principles reflect deep-seated cooperative instincts that enabled human survival and flourishing throughout history. Kropotkin's work fundamentally challenges the Hobbesian myth that has dominated Western political thought, the idea that humans are naturally selfish and competitive, requiring strong central authority to prevent chaos. This perspective has gained renewed relevance in our contemporary context. As we face unprecedented global challenges, climate change, wealth inequality, resource depletion, biodiversity loss, the limitations of competitive individualism become increasingly apparent. Recent history provides numerous examples of spontaneous cooperation emerging precisely when traditional institutions fail. During Hurricane Katrina, local communities organized rescue operations and established mutual support networks while official responses faltered. Similarly, the COVID-19 pandemic saw the rapid emergence of neighborhood mutual aid groups and grassroots support systems across the globe. The digital age has enabled new forms of cooperation that Kropotkin could never have imagined. Open-source software development, Wikipedia, citizen science projects, and collaborative disaster response platforms demonstrate how voluntary cooperation can create sophisticated systems without centralized control. These modern examples vindicate Kropotkin's core insight that humans possess an innate capacity for complex cooperation. Next time you hear survival of the fittest used to justify cutthroat competition or inequality, recall Kropotkin's Siberian observations. The most successful species aren't lone predators, but those with sophisticated mutual support systems. Our greatest human achievements, from cathedrals to space exploration, emerged not from isolated genius, but from collective effort and shared purpose. The path forward lies in rediscovering our cooperative heritage. We can design economic systems rewarding collaboration over exploitation, political structures empowering communities rather than dividing them, and institutions nurturing our innate tendency toward mutual aid. Facing existential challenges, our survival depends on this truth. We aren't merely self-interested competitors, but social beings wired for cooperation. Our greatest strength has always been working together, sharing resources and knowledge, and supporting each other through hardship. The future belongs not to aggressive competitors, but to those who master cooperation. Kropotkin offers not just historical analysis, but a roadmap for human flourishing in challenging times ahead.